Welcome to the SwampSwami.com audio podcast. Take it away, Mr. Haney. Swamp Swami has the sports for me. Watching sports since the age of three. He covers stories far and wide. Bring your sense of humor and come inside. Sports scores and more. Fresh takes. Fast breaks. Sports are my life. Yeah, right, said his wife. Swamp Swami's podcast show. Hail to Florida and UConn, and goodbye to amateur college sports. Congratulations to the Florida Gators men's basketball team and the Connecticut Huskies women's team. Both emerged as the 2025 national champions of college basketball. The Florida Gators captured their third March Madness national championship with a hard-fought 65-63 win on Monday night over heartbroken Houston. It was Florida's first men's title since 2007. For UConn, their women's victory on Sunday was the school's record-setting 12th national championship. That is four more titles than the second-place finisher, Tennessee. Legendary coach Pat Summitt collected eight titles during her years at the Knoxville school. But the Houston Cougars ran out of gas against Florida. In Monday night's men's championship finale, the Houston Cougars were seeking their first national championship in school history. It was Houston's seventh appearance in the NCAA Final Four, third time to play in the title game. After losing a 12-point second-half lead against Florida, Houston fell to 0-3 in the championship game appearances, their first since 1984. In one of sports' greatest ironies, the Cougars were the same team which pulled off a miraculous rally in the final minute against Duke in the semifinals to win that game 70-67 on Saturday night. During Monday night's championship game against Florida, Houston appeared to lose concentration coming down the stretch. Committing four turnovers in the last 2 minutes certainly did not help matters for the Cougars. Houston and Florida put on a defensive clinic on Monday night. The stress of the big game caused some of the top players on both teams to miss shots, as neither team connected on 40% from the field. For Houston coach Kelvin Sampson, his Cougars have posted their fourth consecutive season with 32 or more wins. That is an amazing feat. Houston has won 132 games against just 20 losses in the last four seasons. Having an 87% winning percentage really looks great, but the first national title for the University of Houston would have been much, much more satisfying. In the end, though, it was Florida which converted a few key baskets and free throws coming down the stretch to take home the 2025 men's basketball title. Congratulations to the SEC's Florida Gators. By the way, the TV ratings soared at CBS, but they dropped like a rock at ESPN. For CBS, Saturday's men's Final Four telecast recorded nearly 16 million viewers for Houston's thrilling rally to beat Duke on Saturday night. The network tallied nearly 15 million fans for the earlier game as Florida pulled away from Auburn to win the opening national semifinal game. Those two men's semifinal games enjoyed a 20% ratings increase over last year in 2024. Now, some of that increased fan interest came from having all four number one seeds participating in the men's semifinal games for just the second time ever. On the women's side, Friday night's doubleheader on ESPN attracted about 4 million viewers for those two semifinal games. Now, that's significantly lower than the 11 million fans who watched Caitlin Clark's Iowa Hawkeyes storm into the finals last season. For women's college basketball, that sizable drop in viewership is disappointing. It still represents a net gain, though, from 2022, when about 3 million home viewers watched the women's Final Four games prior to Caitlin Clark becoming a nationally known star. Iowa's Caitlin Clark became women's college basketball's version of Indiana State's Larry Bird back in the 1970s, and both of those prolific scorers captured the nation's imagination and grew additional interest in their sports. The Duke Blue Devils are the historical reference point for what I think has changed in college basketball. Now, I will admit, I have been a longtime Duke basketball fan. Yes, indeed, beginning with the advent of cable television back in the mid-1970s, I was one of those folks watching Jim Sponarko and Mike Jaminski and the rest of the Dukies in ACC basketball. In the 1980s and 90s, it brought Duke's record-setting coach Mike Krzyzewski along with memorable players like Johnny Dawkins and Christian Laettner, Bobby Hurley, and Shane Battier. ESPN's legendary basketball analyst Dick Vitale, baby! was courtside, adding to the excitement of many of Duke's classic basketball games. In fact, Duke became a television fixture during the NCAA's March Madness events. The Blue Devils regularly advanced to the Final Four and national title games during that period. But then, in 2006, the NBA changed everything. The Pro Basketball League changed its rules and allowed basketball players to be drafted just 1 year after the player finished high school. Players with professional basketball goals, and who doesn't have that dream, right? Signed college scholarships to go play for schools with the most TV coverage, like Duke in Kentucky and Kansas. Those highly recruited players sought to maximize their visibility during their one-and-done freshman year in college. Now, this period beginning in 2006 began the erosion of the student-athlete era in college basketball. Many freshman basketball players just dropped out of classes once the basketball season ended during their spring semester so they could prepare for a possible first or hopefully no worse than a second-round selection in the summer NBA draft. College basketball coaches also had to quickly adapt too. The coaches are judged by their wins and, sadly, not by their players' GPA or graduation status. It's either win ball games or find a new profession. Fans of college basketball also started to lose their connection with a few of their favorite stars at their favorite schools. Say goodbye to one-and-done standout freshman college players like John Wall at Kentucky, Anthony Davis of Kentucky, Kyrie Irving at Duke, Andrew Wiggins at Kansas, and Zion Williamson at Duke. But 2021 brought an end to amateurism as we know it in major college sports. A July 1, 2021 ruling by a Supreme Court justice marked the beginning of the end for amateur college athletics. The judge ruled that an athlete may receive monetary compensation for his or her name, image, and likeness, yes, NIL. In December 2021, the NCAA implemented its new transfer portal rules, which allow college athletes to transfer from their current school to another one and immediately be able to participate in sports at the new school. Prior to that, the transfer athlete had to sit out 1 year prior to regaining eligibility to go play that sport again. In response to the rulings, the colleges have taken a great deal of liberty to define how athletes may be compensated for those NIL rights. The monetary values being offered to college basketball and football players and others today are so high that some college athletes are making more than the minimum salary being paid this year by the NBA, which is $1.1 million, or the NFL, which is minimum pay of $840,000 for a rookie. At most Division I athletic programs, this NIL loot is being paid to athletes in addition to traditional athletic scholarships, which cover room and board. So how does that make us feel as fans of college athletics? This weekend's college basketball Final Four television ratings do indicate that most fans do not seem to have an issue with these recent changes. The college athletes are still the same college athletes, whether they're being paid hundreds of thousands of dollars today, or nothing, or, okay, legally speaking, nothing just a few years ago. Now, if you've purchased a ticket to watch an athletic event at a major university in the last few years, you have likely received, like I have, follow-up emails about helping the school's NIL collective. Colleges and universities want the fans, of course, to donate that extra money to help pay for buying supposedly better athletes for the school. The NBA still has their phony one-and-done rule in place. The NFL still requires future football players to be 3 years removed from high school prior to entering the annual draft. As some colleges now start to increase the amount of money being paid for athletes, more of the athletes are transferring to these higher-profile money schools in pursuit of higher dollars. Some of the top athletes are even delaying their decision as to when they should jump into the professional ranks now. For example, what if Duke's All-American freshman Cooper Flagg received a multi-million dollar offer to stick around in college for another year or two, rather than jump over to the NBA next year? The school might even add a large insurance policy, let's say worth $100 million, to sweeten the pot in the event that that player suffered a career-ending injury while in college. Once a top athlete declares for a professional sports draft, there's no guarantee that that player is going to actually make the roster of a professional sports team. So you might expect to see more athletes sticking around school for another year or two to get that master's degree, wink, wink, as long as the college money bank depository keeps growing. Taking a sure thing monetary offer from your college for another year might be a smarter thing than risking being cut during a professional sports team's training camp. So welcome to the new reality in college sports. We're stuck with it. I'm Swamp Swami.
See you later, Swamp Gator.